Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to Small Talk, What's It, the podcast with your host, Cindy Matone. First of all, I hope we're all having a great start to our week. We are doing it, guys, so give yourself a pat on the back for that. But I want to start off today's episode with a little story. So 2 weeks ago, I was going through my jean drawer doing some spring cleaning, and I had a mental breakdown because almost none of my jeans fit me. And I was super, super sad because I didn't understand why. And I called one of my girlfriends, and she was comforting me. And she said to me, "Hey, Sid, like, you're no longer like 19, 20 years old. You're 25 now. And like, your body has changed in the last 5 years." And I think that was like a realization. But two, it also, COVID happened, right? And, you know, in this podcast, we actually get into this a little bit, how like there was a lot of like trauma that happened during COVID. And we don't even like fully recognize it sometimes, but you know, our lifestyles changed and I wasn't, you know, walking around as much, and I'm, you know, sitting home, working from home now. So that in itself is like, has its own traumas associated with it. So I think now what's happening, I'm realizing, not just with like my own girlfriends, but people that I'm talking to, that we're all trying to like get back into like our old state and get back into like physical fitness and the way we were. But I think it's important to remind ourselves that like, we have to have grace with ourselves. We may not necessarily be the same body type that we were a few years ago. And like, that's okay. It's about feeling healthy. And I think that's what I want like to focus today's episode on. We get into like a lot of topics, and so much good information is here, guys. Like, there's such good information here. So like, if this is an episode that you want to learn about misinformation that's out there, what's good for you, what's not good for you, are diets really true, like what to learn about, these women definitely offer that. So I can't wait for you guys to meet them. So first, let me introduce them. Okay, guys, so this week I'm chatting with the amazing female founders of Kalina Health, Vanessa Rosetto and Tamara Samuels. These two registered dietitians decided to bring their powers together just 18 months ago to create the most amazing company that's all about the facts and none of the BS. Kalina Health is a personalized nutrition platform powered by registered dietitians that you can actually trust to help you prioritize the way you want to live. They also are in-network with most major insurances. So epic. They provide virtual nutrition care for all people, regardless of their background, body size, or health condition. Obsessed with the entire concept, to say the very least. We hit on so many different topics in this episode, like the importance of individualized healthcare, the truth about trendy diets, why there's so much confusion about what's good for you versus what's not, and how to gain autonomy over your health. Plus, the women introduced me to what they call their Fire Fridays, which is something we all need more in our weekly schedule. So be sure to, you know, sit back and hear more about that. This was one of my favorite episodes to date. We laughed so much. I feel like I've known these women forever, so I can't wait for you guys to meet them and listen to their story. So sit back, relax, and let's meet these badass ladies. Oh, Vanessa and Tamar, happy Friday. This is like, I'm so looking forward to this. First of all, you guys are amazing, gorgeous. It's a Friday. We made it. How are we doing?
Thank God. I mean, I'm so tired of people, but also today I have a gala for my kid's school and my husband is like, "Yay, it's going to be a date night." And I'm like, "Can we leave at like 8:30 so we could go home and watch We Crash?" And he's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's good."
No, it's really crazy because the older you get, I'm beginning to realize this, is that like dinner is like the plans for the night. Like you go out, it's like there's there's no after. Like dinner, that is the whole night.
So, yeah, I was like, dinner is at 5:36.
Exactly. Right. Early bird special. Because I need to digest and not get heartburn. I'm not into this. Like, please, everybody help me.
Exactly. Absolutely. What about you, Tamar?
My husband was like, "You want some dark chocolate?" And I was like, "You know I can't have dark chocolate because I won't sleep because of the heartburn."
Oh my God. And you said before we started, you're in your baby's nursery right now?
I am in my baby's nursery because there was no quiet space in my apartment. So here I am.
Oh my God. Wait, right. You're a new mom then.
Well, my baby just turned one. So she is technically a toddler, which I find to be really weird because she's still very small and requires a lot of attention and care. Sure.
First
not
one.
Capable of doing anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What about you? What about you, Vanessa? You're a mom, obviously. You're going to your kids' gala. How many kids?
Yeah. I have two kids. They are 8 and 10. And it doesn't get any better. Like my son starts talking from the moment he wakes up, which is like 5:55 in the morning. And he's still talking somewhere in the house. I was like, mommy has a podcast. He's like, "Okay, but can I ask you a question? Because I really want to go see Sonic 2. And I'm like, "Well, that's up to you. And my mom is here." And like, yeah, or the nanny. He's like, I'm going to figure it out. I'll get back to you.
See, I feel like the good part and bad part about when you get to have teenagers is that like, they don't wake up early anymore, but then you deal with everything else that is teenagers. So you'll be able to sleep in a little later.
So the fact that, do you have kids?
God, no, no, I'm only 25. Absolutely not. Oh. No, no, no.
I love that.
I know. I, oh God, you look young. You look young to me, but I was like, I don't know. Anything's possible. So
I look young. The fact that you're a mom of two and the fact that you have a child at all is like, you both look like so young, which I know you are, but still regardless, wild. So you guys are
wait until you're ready. That's the biggest piece of advice that I
have. Oh yeah. My mom tells me that, she says to me, it should be so like, you're so ready for that next stage. Like it feels like premature. Don't do it. Like it should feel like, yes, like we've done the whole marriage thing, spent time alone. Like now we're ready for it. So I'm not, I'll take my time with that one.
That's right.
Your life
That's
is right. over.
Yeah. I mean, even having dogs is like a lot. So I'm just like, I can only imagine having children. So yeah. Okay. So you guys are based in New York. It's like a gorgeous day today. So how's your week going so far? You know, what has it went?
Man, me and T are in the trenches on a daily basis.
Every week is pretty much the same. It's all hard and we're always tired.
Yeah, it is hard. Our weeks are really hard because we just raised venture funding to scale our business and compete in the digital health space. And that's very exciting because this is a profession that, you know, we've had a lot of tech leading nutrition. And so now we've got dietitians leading and that's great. But, you know, you're trying to scale a business. And also we're doing something that no one's ever done before, which is we're trying to prove out that you can scale people. We don't want to use tech. Tech is making us more efficient and it's making us better and helping to scale, but the product is always the person. Mm. You know, we're like dietitians, nutritionists in your pocket kind of thing. And so every day, man, me and T just get beat down. And also I beat T down sometimes, but she takes it. She's real tough.
She gets beaten. Yeah, she gets and beaten. Like, and then I get beaten from her. And then, you know, but it's good. It's good. It makes us stronger, right? We're two women of color and are a lot harder for us in the venture space, in the nutrition space, in everyday life. Mm. So it's really important for us to support each other, whether that's being gentle or that's being tough. We got each other's backs no matter what.
I love it.
I'm just like a tough mom and Tamar is like a loving, gentle mom. And I'm like, no, don't be mediocre. Come up with a solution. And Tamar's like, okay, everyone, let me help you.
We need a good cop, bad cop in every situation, right? Like exactly. we need one of each. And I was also going to say, on top of that, you're also, you know, I'm assuming you both are in relationships and your mom's on top of that. So like, and you're building an empire. So it's a lot for any person, but the fact that you have a teammate, like makes it a little easier, I'm assuming.
Totally. And we have a good team. Like the whole team is great. So mm-hmm. It's good. It's just like, we have some people on the team that they don't mess around. They don't leave any stones unturned and they show you the truth, which is what you need. But you're just like, oh, is there a day where we just don't have to do this? Like what day is that?
It's called booking a vacation for yourself. That's what you have to do.
Exactly. But like, we have to travel for work and tomorrow's like, oh, when can I come? I'm like, girl, first of all, you have a baby. Second, this is not fun. So you don't want to come to this? She's like, you're right.
Well, she's going to Mexico City. So, I mean, there will be fun to be had.
Yeah.
But like I said, your life is over when you have kids and they're very small. So I can't do anything. My life's over.
I've heard like you should always try, if you're doing a business trip, try to dedicate at least like one afternoon to like doing something fun in that city. So like, just be like, listen, I'm blocking out like this time. So hopefully you can do that. But how did you guys meet, by the way? Cause I love this energy and this friendship. So where did this like start?
I was 3 million months pregnant with my son and Tamar was our dietetic intern at Mount Sinai. And she was our student and she was excellent. And then in recent time, I was teaching at NYU and someone was like, do you know like a more holistic functional medicine dietitian? And I was like, I think maybe tomorrow. So then I messaged her and she was like, hey, what's up? Also, let's have a coffee. So we met and we were both like, it's really sad to be a dietitian on your own. And she's like, let's have a private practice together. And so I was like, okay, sure. And I think it's like really crazy. I always say every day, I'm like, if Tamar didn't push, Kulina wouldn't exist. So like, I always make sure that I like, I never leave Tamar behind. She's like, even like Tamar takes all the things. And no matter what, I'm like, nope, if it wasn't for Tamar, none of us would be here. So she made it happen. And she was like, it's going to be great. We're going to build an empire. I'm like, are you out of your mind? And then I'm like, we're just going to see patience. It's like, no big deal. And then the venture people started calling. And I was like, Tamar, venture people are calling me. She's like, wait, what? How did they get your number? I'm like, I have no idea. But let's see what
happens. Does that even mean?
Wait, so, like, it's venture. So you were pushing out a baby. She's like pushing for this business to happen. This is what's going
correct.
On.
Exactly. Okay.
That's what happened. Literally. So she had her baby and she was like, this is so horrible. I was like, goodbye. I can't talk to you because it is so horrible. I'll see you in June. Bye. And she was like, what? And then our other co-founder, Steve, was working at NYU. So he was running the NYU Tandon Lab, which was like, it's like an accelerator in New York to bring tech to New York. Because for so long, tech was just in Silicon Valley and they wanted it to be in New York. So he helped grow that ecosystem. And he reached out to me being like, I have this business. I'm like, your business is dumb, but I need tech. So let's work together. And meanwhile, like Tamar is like, you know, half head in the clouds because she's like got a baby. And I'm like, okay, so tomorrow we're going to have this guy. He's going to join us and we're going to give him 50% of our business. And she's like, do you do drugs? Like, what is happening? And my husband was like, are you? Yeah. And my husband's like, are you out of your fucking mind? My husband thinks I'm insane.
Yeah.
Like all the time. Like my husband leaves the house sometimes and he's like, okay, so like, can you not sell that apartment without my knowledge? And I'm like, I don't think I can, because I'm pretty sure you have to like sign papers, because he like never knows like what he's like, are you serious or not? Right. And I was like, no, we're gonna give this guy half of our business. And he was like, Tamar's not gonna let that happen. And like, there's somebody with sense. And I was like, nope, I'm gonna convince her.
Amazing.
And like, here we are. It was for the greater good.
How long ago is this? When was this like this form?
Last year.
You guys are only, you're 1 year old.
Well, we're 18 months old, but okay. this happened last year. And I mean, literally we made $1 million last year without any tech and without any marketing.
Holy shit. Congratulations.
Yeah. We've been on the grind.
Wait, this is like, I'm going to assume this is probably one of the most monumental years of your entire life.
Yeah. And but
is monumentally good and monumentally intense, right? Mm, like it's been by far the most change and growth I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Where did you both go to school?
NYU.
Oh, you both.
NYU.
Okay. So that was just a coincidence that you both went to NYU, because you didn't meet there. You met at the hospital.
Right. So like, okay. Well, undergrad, I went to Fordham, but undergrad, you went to Hunter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, it's the second career for both of us. And so there's all these classes of interns. And so I was just a class that was a little ahead of Tamar's. And so, and we just ended up knowing each other like that. But all dietitians for the most part know each other.
Fair enough.
All dietitians from NYU know each other for sure.
It's a small group,
It's a small group.
What were you guys doing before this?
Oh, I worked in marketing.
You did? Okay. Yeah. So that's a good background to bring. So you went to NYU for what, nutrition, or you went for marketing?
Yes. Well, first of all, I went to college for history.
Okay.
Also, my parents are immigrants and they're like, you're not a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. You're a life. I don't understand what you do. Like, even to this day, they're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Then I went to NYU and got a master's in marketing, like before like the internet even like existed. You know what I mean? That's like, whatever. Then I decided to go back to school and become a dietitian. My father was like, whatever, you're married now. You're your husband's problem. I don't want to know anything about this.
Amazing. That's so funny.
But yeah, so I studied nutrition and did the internship. Yeah.
Wow. And then I'm assuming Tamar, you went to school for nutrition?
Yeah, but it's funny because the NYU program is a program where it's a lot of second careers, because they have a fast track to get your master's and your RD credential. So a lot of people who are in the NYU program are people who have had previous careers. My parents are the opposite of Vanessa's parents and they're total hippies. And I was like, yeah, I want to go to college and get my degree. And they were like, why? Why would you do that?
That's so funny.
Okay, figure out how to pay for it.
You guys have such like yin-yang energy in your life, I feel. Like there's so many like opposites that work so well. Yeah.
They were like, figure out how to pay for it. And also like, when you graduate, you need to give me money because we can't take care of ourselves.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. So I initially wanted to be a therapist, which you know, therapists don't really make that much money. So their plan and my plan didn't really work out so well. And then I fell into nutrition after I was teaching kids in an after school program in Harlem. And I was just, I was always passionate about nutrition, you know, the whole hippie thing. People are like, oh, you need to like eat from the earth and sustainability. And like those values were a part of my values growing up. So I was shocked that nobody else had that experience growing up. and when I learned that, I immediately was like, I gotta change the world, right? Like, I gotta do something about this. So I figured out that a dietitian was a career, and that's how I met Vanessa. When I enrolled in the NYU master's program, she was my preceptor. She said she was very pregnant, and I was very green. And then we reconnected 7 years later, and here we are.
Yeah. I mean, therapy, you're doing that in some sense, right? Like it's, and also same thing with like marketing. It's like all of these backgrounds and interests that you had previously, like incorporated into your business now. So like it all comes together, which is really cool to see. Yeah. So now you have this idea for Kalina Health. Where does one even begin? Like where, how do you even start when you have an idea like this?
Smart.
They're taking deep breaths. Just what the pause was.
well, the idea really evolves over time. I think that's what being an entrepreneur is, right? So as Vanessa said, our initial idea was, why don't we have a group private practice where we are working, you know, we hire a team of dietitians who we train to provide the best patient care to our patients, and we're able to serve more people. And you know, Vanessa and I are able to focus less on patient care and more on business development and marketing and sales and things like that, and mentorship. And while that idea is still the core of what we do at Kalina Health, we recognized that we needed to pivot over time, right? The market was one where we had a global pandemic, and telehealth became something that was more important to people. Health and nutrition in general became more important to people. And we, you know, saw this as an opportunity for us to reach more people. And we didn't know that we wanted to be a health tech company when we started Kalina Health. But as Vanessa shared, that was something that really naturally started to happen. And I think that's what being an entrepreneur is all about. It's about like constantly reevaluating and pivoting to do something that's supporting of your business, right? And really thinking about, okay, what's best for my business right now. I remember at one point I was like, I don't know what else I have except for Kalina Health. Like, this is my legacy. Like, if I am not going to be a part of this company, then I don't know like who I am with work, right? So really thinking about like your connection to your business and what that means for your company and what's important for the people that you're serving. So the idea of Kalina Health become this like natural progression of learning less.
Yeah. I mean, you hear all the time on like Shark Tank too, like they're not really interested in entrepreneurs if it's not like they're all right. So I think like you, and I think everyone knows if you're doing like 50%, like you're not going to get to the success that you want. So the fact that it was, you know, everything that you had, I mean, you know, that makes sense. So I think the question I have though, is because a lot of people, when they say, you know, when you start a business, where did the initial investment come from? Was this your own money? Were you getting a loan? Like, how did that start?
We just put $5,000 in a checking account and went to work.
Wow.
Got an accountant, got a lawyer, and
and a biller. And just, yeah, that was it.
And these dietitians that they were coming on, were you paying them at first, or they were something they were doing freelancing? Like, how did that work?
No, we were paying them. So for every patient they saw, we paid them a percentage, and we had them as employees. And so we were doing that. But our whole mission was to make nutrition, and it still is, to make nutrition accessible for everyone, right? And so like, I really believe that if you put your head down and you work hard, and the goal is not for fame or accolades, the goal is to do good work. The goal is that when you put your head on the pillow at night, and not saying that you shouldn't be compensated for your work, it's two different things, but are you impacting people's lives in a positive way? That's literally all we wanted to do. We wanted to say, it doesn't matter if you're Black, brown, straight, trans, rich, poor, but everybody should have access to good medical care. Mm. How do we get them that? And so we can do it. We do it. We are prevention. We are saving people's lives. We're coordinating people's care. We are helping you understand how food affects your body and how you can live the life that you want to live, personalized to you. That's what we do every day. We do it really well. Everybody knows we do it well. And so how do we give people access to this? So that was it. That was all we wanted to do.
Right.
Yep. I mean, and it has to be science-based. Most right.
Yes, yes, of course. Always evidence-based. But yes, no quackery. I can't. That's why
quackery.
Instagram is not a safe place for me. The internet is dangerous and amazing all the same time. And when I get on there and I see people saying things that are bad, I start messaging tomorrow like 4 o'clock in the morning and she answers back.
Like, that's no, it's great. But I think that's even why I can even tell that you have this confidence because you have the facts to back you up. Right. So like that's, if you don't have that, you really have nothing. So I love like that you believe in like what you're doing that much. And you answered my question, cause I was going to ask like, what is Kalina Health in your own words? And it's really personalized care for the individual, you know, relating to your health.
That's right. That's right. And we're like basically the antithesis of everything that's out there today, because everything out there today is a device. It's a levels glucose monitor. It's a watch. It's a Whoop. It's a ring. Okay, cool. But what happens when there's nobody on the other end telling you how it works? Why, what those numbers mean? Nothing happens. I even was with the investors of a device. And he was like, well, I have this device and it tells me everything. And I was like, okay, so after you got all that information, what did you do? And he was like, oh, I gained 10 pounds. I was like, see, told you.
Right.
The nutrition space is really scary right now. There's a lot of misinformation. Not only is it skewed towards like, how can we outsource this to bots, but it's also skewed towards people who don't know what they're talking about and aren't giving evidence-based, science-based nutrition advice. It's based on their personal experience trying something, right? When the reality is that we're talking about people's health here, right? There's science here, and everything that we do should be informed by information that we have from scientific literature and should be informed from the experiences that we have as clinicians treating people and treating disease states and working with other healthcare providers to do that. So I think it's really important for people to be able to get their nutrition advice from a trustworthy source.
Right. Were you going to add to that, Vanessa?
Yeah. I mean, I also wanted to say it's like also about people's lived experiences. So like what your experience is, Sydney, is different than my experience, right? And so when if somebody comes to me and their mother was always on a diet and put them on a diet. And all, so like, I'm going to talk to that person differently than if somebody grew up in a housing project and didn't have access to food, for somebody whose parents are from an island and they eat different, like, so I think that the lens that we see everything from generally with regards to nutrition and wellness is just from this one very restrictive, very like whitewashed elitist lens. And that's like not how the world works or looks.
Totally.
So how come they can stand and say with so much certainty that this is the way that things need to be? I don't like when these people talk in absolutes, like you don't live someone else's life. So that works for you. And that's amazing. But something might work better for somebody else. And you as a practitioner need to recognize that and then adjust accordingly. Cause it's not about me, it's about you.
Right. And we all know the reason why this happens. It's money, right? Like it's all about a business. And so it's marketing, and that's why. And if you're not, and they don't care about the smaller players. And so
right.
100%. Right. Did you guys watch The Dropout on Hulu with Elizabeth Holmes?
Oh, I have been obsessed with her. I have been obsessed with this story, Sid. Yeah. Since 2016.
Oh my God.
I was driving to a funeral in Boston and my husband was like, it was my cousin who passed away. He's like, well, let's listen to this Serial podcast. I'm like, who listens to podcasts? We're old. What are you doing? He's like, shut up, just listen to it. And I was like, this is fascinating. Yeah. And I like digested every single thing I could, like to the point of like, I know she recently had a baby. I'm like, she's trying to stay out of jail.
How?
She's trying.
How did she have a baby?
Somebody married her.
I know last time I checked, she was just like eating such a restrictive diet. It was scary.
That story, but the only reason none of us know about it is because it was out west, and then it slowly was migrating over, and then people started whistleblowing, and you know, I mean, but the stories were crazy. Did you hear the one story about the woman who was like, I was a 5-year cancer survivor, and then I got my blood drawn, and then they told me that I had cancer, and I like, but I didn't. And it was like, it almost like ruined my life. I was like, oh my God, these poor people. But that's the thing, right? It's like, who are you sitting across that's giving you money? Because right. if I was the investor and this girl sat and told me this, I'd be like, girl, are you out of your mind? You need more than one drop of blood. I do not care. Prove me wrong.
Her lab. So if you haven't watched the show, like highly recommend. It's only like 8 or 9 episodes. But basically the technologies that she was using wasn't even hers. Like the whole thing was a lie. The company was valued at $9 billion. $9 billion. Walgreens invested in her, put literally these things in the stores. And when they sent the blood back to the labs, they were just making up BS lies. It was all lies. And she says like initially, and I'm bringing it up because like she said her initial was to like really help people, but towards the end, like, no, it wasn't. Like, it was to make straight money. And it was biz and Walgreens. It wasn't about helping people. It was like, oh, it's going to bring more people into our store and more foot traffic. Like, they did not care about actually helping people, because if they did, they would have made sure that the test actually worked correctly. They never once actually went into the lab and saw the machine work for themselves. And they invested in this person. Like, how wild is that? Wild.
The thing that's so crazy is like, after fundraising is such an emotional process. I've never had so many emotions, and I've been pregnant twice. So like, that's like, right? Can you imagine? I have never cried so much in my entire life. It's so wild the way that we were raked over the coals. And when I tell you, like, squeaky clean, like, don't owe anybody any money. Oh, by the way, we were profitable in 2021. Like,
already making a lot of money.
Making money. And they were like, prove it to me. And I'm like, yo. And everyone's like, oh, the market is so frothy because no one has been deploying capital in the last like 18 months. And I'm like, is it? Because I'm begging these people for my money, like begging. Listen, and the investors that we have are amazing. They're behind us. And also, we didn't get a lot of no's. We got a lot of not yet, because they are like wanting to see, right? Because telehealth is new, the reimbursement, all of these things. So people are really into it. It was just so funny then to think of Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes and being like, are you what? And like, we have real outcomes. That it's just, it's so crazy. I guess anyone, any entrepreneur out there, as long as you have something good and solid and you're doing the right thing, someone will believe in you. So don't get discouraged.
Yeah. And I hate to, you know, it's also, isn't it funny how like a white girl with blonde hair got like a multi-million-dollar deal?
Girl, I don't want to say it out loud because don't slide into my DMs, y'all. I have lived it, and I say every day.
Yeah.
Our other co-founder, Steve, is white. And I'm like, Steve, if I didn't raise with you, I don't know if I would have gotten money. And he's like, yeah, I think that might be true.
Yeah, but these are the examples. So I think one of the things that she was talented at is obviously she was good at like selling herself and negotiating. Mm-hmm. And I think also people like want, we live in a world where of course you want to believe that like a product is going to change the world. But like we just said before, if you don't have the facts there, it means nothing, right?
Yeah.
100%. Oh man, love it all. No, we speak truth here. We speak truth. Love it.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, you caught us on a Friday, so we're special.
We're turned up.
All the walls are down.
We call it Fire Friday. It's a special thing that me and Vanessa do, although we're like months overdue for our Fire Friday.
Very sad. Come to the office next Friday so we can do F45. It'll be good.
What's a Fire Friday? What is that?
Be a massage.
So I've taught this. Okay, ladies listening, this is a secret. There's a couple of things. I don't know how young everybody is, but here it is. Number one, you gotta have your in case shit fund. And my husband's like, in case what shit? I'm like, in case shit don't work out. You can outsource my money. You don't know where my money is. I pay for shit. I pay on like family vacation, whatever. And you don't know how much it costs because I don't want to hear you freaking complain. Also, I'm going to tell you how hard shit is and pretend like I can't handle it. I can handle all my shit. I'm going to pretend like I can't. And then I'm going to get a massage, a pedicure, and a soul cycle class with my homegirl, Tamar. And we all going to be back home at 5. By 5 o'clock, I'm in the door doing my work. Yes. Nobody knows.
Yes.
But you are going to be making dinner. So.
Yeah. You have to go and like do your mom shit and do your wife shit. But in that time, you put blocks on your calendar and you take off.
Good.
And this is the trick. But today I was in the class and this woman was like, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, I do it with my account, my hidden money. I'm like, yes, you learned the lesson. She's like, yeah, girl, I know that lesson. That's it. You gotta have your own shit.
And
I love Fridays. That you do that, because I've spoken with so many entrepreneurs, and when I ask them, what do you do for yourself? They look at me with a blank stare. They're like, what is that? Like, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, you cannot operate on an empty cup. You have to be full. And so the fact that you do that is so awesome.
Yeah. You just have to hide it though, because you always have to be martyring yourself and telling everyone how hard you work. So you always,
you are working hard. That's
Like,
in order for you to work hard, you need to do these things. And this is a lesson that I really need to be better about. Vanessa is very good at this. It's hard when you have a small child because it messes with your brain. Like, it's hard for you to just like do anything for anybody else. It's hard for you to do anything for yourself because you're constantly like dedicating every moment of your time to your child. But, you know, in order for you to show up for others, you need to show up for yourself, right? 100%. Like, you'll be more efficient. You'll be more productive. You'll be happier. You'll be healthier. And that's like really what we practice at Kulina. You know, it's people really struggle with self-care, and we support our patients in like their lifestyle. You know, it's not just about eating the right foods. It's about sleep. It's about movement. It's about stress management, you know, and having someone like, I have Vanessa. I probably need to work with one of my dietitians too, but like having someone like Vanessa or a registered dietitian to like really support you in doing that is so important. And like, we take insurance, you know? So, that's the work that we do.
No, I mean, I had one of my friends message me because I was like asking like, what topics should I talk about? And one of my friends was like, she was struggling. I forget exactly what she had, but she said, once I started changing, like, you know, waking up earlier in the mornings and maybe having a little routine before I start my day, like that overall changed her health. And so I think like people really making mental health a priority in their lives, it actually plays such a huge role in like the physical and, you know, the rest of it.
Yeah. So, 100%. Like, do things for yourself. I've recently, our dietitians are like, we're getting a lot of cancellations because people are going back to work. I'm like, okay, you need to go back to these people and be like, give me 15 minutes, find a 15 minute block, and I'm going to call you and we're going to talk about this, because this, you've been doing so well and you're on this trajectory, and now you have to go back to work 2 days a week and you can't handle your life. No, we need to come up with a plan, and I'm here to help you do that, because otherwise you're just going to be in this bad cycle, in this loop, and you're going to be upset. And we don't want that. We want you to be feeling like as great as you possibly can. Don't let yourself go just to make other people like lift up. It's not really worth it.
Yeah. What's been like one of the biggest complaints or maybe issues that your clients experience, like something that you just keep hearing over and over again, that like the advice that you're giving?
People are confused. Mm-hmm. There's just so much out there about what you should and shouldn't be doing. And they, like, is this a nutritionist? Is this a registered dietitian? Should I pay for this, or can I get it covered by insurance? Like, what's the best thing? And I want to lose weight. Does that mean I have an eating disorder? Like, what? And
you're should like, I do keto? Should I do intuitive eating? Should I eat breakfast? Should I eat breakfast? Should I go plant-based? Should I eat more meat?
There's a lot of questions.
There's so many questions. And the thing is that I always tell people is that nutrition is a new science, right? We only started studying nutrition like 80 years ago. That's number one. Number two, I can take any nutrition study and just spin it to say whatever I want it to say. There are no longitudinal randomized control studies in nutrition. So when people stand on their soapbox and start saying whatever, I'm like, guys, shut up. You know better than that. You're just taking, you know, like the one little study over here. Or we have our co-founder, Steve, who's an engineer. It's so funny because he has his master's, and he'll be like, so I was reading this meta-analysis, and I'm like, that is just a review of all the other studies, Steve. He's like, oh yeah, you're right. I'm like, don't come to me with that. Stop. Just focus on your thing, and I'm gonna focus on mine. He's like, okay, but I'm truly curious about nutrition. I'm like, go then book a session with somebody. I can't sit here and explain this to you. But yeah, like, people get very dazzled. Even the investors, like, they would be like, well, we talked to somebody and they did a study, and it was, and so sample size of 30. And I'm like, you all have your master's degrees. You all are in finance. You all have taken statistics. N of 30 is not statistically significant. Why are we talking about this right here? Mm-hmm. And they would just kind of look at me. So I think that's the thing, is that people don't understand research and what the research means. And so then they're easily like wowed and like lose focus. What works for me does not work for Tamar, and vice versa. So let's, if I want to lose weight, if you want to lose weight and you come to me, I'm skilled. I can talk to you and know if you have any disorder, and I can send you
right
through the right channels. I can send you away. I can tell you, you have an eating disorder. This is, you know, obviously in a gentler way, like let's talk about other things. It's not ethical for me to take you on as a weight loss patient. I have that under control. So it's okay for people to come and ask for things and ask for guidance and help, because we're here to walk them through it.
Right. People also keep in mind too, like the reason why you're so confused is because we live in a world of marketing, right? So like you can walking down the aisle and you see something that's like half the fat, and it's like not really half the fat. We just change the numbers and mess with it so we can legally say that, but like, it's not actually. So yeah, it's
exactly.
It's the world
but
we live in.
In people's defense, I think people are also confused because even within, you know, our professional organizations, the information changes, you know, sure. Like in the 90s, oh, cholesterol from eggs is the worst thing that you could possibly eat.
Perfect food. Eat it every day.
It's going to raise your cholesterol, right? And now the newer research is showing that actually like only a small subset of the population, around 20%, has like a genetic predisposition towards like hyperabsorption of dietary cholesterol, which increases cholesterol in our bloodstream, right? And that patient population is at a higher risk than everyone else, but you know, for the rest of us, enjoy your eggs. Or if you are at risk, you can have some fiber with your eggs, and that might mitigate that risk, right? So people are confused not just because of marketing, but they're also confused about nutrition information that is being disseminated by professional organizations, right? So it's a very sticky space, right? And like having someone who is familiar with these nuances to support you in making these decisions, because guess what? All of us eat all the time, every day for the rest of our lives.
True. And I enjoy it. Yeah.
Amen.
We've got to figure it out. It doesn't have to be painful. And it is painful for so many people, right? For most people, like eating is confusing. It's difficult. It's stressful. And, you know, that's what we do at Kalina Health, is like we take that confusion away and we make it a lot less stressful.
Yeah. Well, also kind of back to the mental health thing, like, unfortunately, mental health plays a lot in like your diet. So people will associate like past traumas with like not eating or like whatever, things like that. And so if you're not taking care of mental health first, then the rest of it is going to be hard to manage. So like, that's why it's so important. And not to talk again about money, but I was going to say too, a lot of, you know, these research companies, like they are being incentivized by big corporations to like give certain like data out. So it's like, it is hard who to trust. But the fact that I think that's what, it's so great what you guys are doing, because we're going directly to the source. You guys are being transparent and real. And like, we need more of that in the world. So it's just, it's awesome. Now, speaking about like, because obviously, you know, the times we're in, we're got over the hump of COVID and it's kind of a little bit more normal now. But I keep hearing a lot like, you know, my jeans don't fit me anymore. And so and I know like I've been guilty of this too, where like I tried on my jeans from like 2 years ago and I'm like, oh, shit, like they don't fit. And I think, you know, it's hard to be kind to yourself because, you know, we're putting. It's just hard. It's hard when you have this idea of like how your body's supposed to look and it doesn't anymore. So I'm sure your clients have experienced like similar things like post COVID, and like, what's the advice you give to them about that?
Well, I think that really we have to remember, like, this is a lot of trauma for people. Mm. Like some people were fine, right? Like, you know, I mean, I think like all of us in the beginning were like, great, 2 weeks where I can just sit in my house and not fuck with people. Sign me up. Don't call me. Don't see me. Amen. Like, see you later. But then, you know,
some people were living their best lives.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, shit, this is great. I'll just, you know,
lost 20 pounds. Like,
yeah. But then it got like really intense. Right. And so it's like, cause you know, like, what if you like hate your husband and you didn't realize you hated your husband until you had to be with him every single day. And now you're like, well, shit, now I got to divorce this motherfucker and I'm in COVID. Like, damn. Let me tell you, I've got like, both of my brother-in-laws got divorced in COVID. So
Yeah, they did. Okay.
So they are lovely guys and it wasn't their fault, but like, things are just compounded.
True colors came out.
A lot of stuff happened. So, you know, I think that people have to be like kind with themselves, right? Like it was the fact that you weren't going anywhere. What were you doing? Eating and drinking your feelings. Cause where else were you finding joy? You were even afraid to walk out on your front step, right? You didn't know what you could do or what you could get. But then I think there was this shift where people were like, okay, I can only eat and drink my feelings for so long. So let me figure out different ways to move my body and like make peace with what's going on. Right. But like, okay, we're just coming out of this pandemic. Also, by the way, there's like war. There's people are angry. Yeah, there's like, you know,
racism.
There's the sexism. People are homophobic, transphobic, fatphobic. Like, the shit is heavy right now. So it's hard for people. So, I mean, yeah, I think a lot of people's pants don't fit, but this is not the end of the world. We can fix it. It's not a big deal. Not all is lost. You just have to like make a choice, right? Like, okay, I want to make a choice. I want to have some autonomy over my health, and I want to get back to a place where I feel good. So maybe it's just fitting into the jeans. It's not necessarily that I have to see the numbers change on the scale, but I want to fit in the jeans, and I want to change my behaviors because I know I've been engaging in behaviors, and that's the reason why I don't fit in the jeans. Is it drinking a bottle of wine every night? Is it eating a sleeve of Oreo cookies? Is it eating Doritos? I talk about Doritos on every podcast because it's my favorite food. I don't know why Doritos has not called me yet and offered me a partnership, but y'all can call me. I'm here for it.
Yes.
So, you know, call me. I'm here. I can really leverage some shit for you, Doritos, Frito-Lay, whoever it is. So like those are the things, right? And then where can I make some changes? Where can I make the changes? And then the small changes will probably get you the biggest results because it's most sustainable.
Yeah.
I say this all the time. It's like feeling guilt and shame is not going to get you any closer to your goal, right? And I know that feeling guilt and shame is something that we do unconsciously. Like, it's not like we're choosing to feel guilt and shame, right? It's something that we do unconsciously. But I think really being mindful and bringing awareness into those thoughts, like, I feel shameful because I gained, you know, 20 pounds over the global pandemic. Okay, you feel shame. Like, what is that going to do for you? You know, Vanessa and I talk about this all the time. What are the solutions, right? Like, feeling guilt and shame isn't going to get you any closer to reaching your goal. Like, take action, recognize that you gained 20 pounds and your pants don't fit. That's good information. How can I move forward, right? Get tools, get support, make, you know, behavioral changes, whatever it is that you need in order for you to move on from that. I think, you know, instead of dwelling on what you did wrong, focus on what you can do to feel better.
Yeah. I think a lot of people get into these like really bad cycles. And I've been guilty of this where I felt extremely overwhelmed to the point where like, I'm like, I don't want to move. I just don't want to move my body. And like, there are times where like, you should give your body rest. But what started happening is I was gaining the weight and then I felt stressed and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to sit here longer. And then it was hard to like break out of that. And so, but once I did break out of it, I realized, you know, that time I'm dedicating to myself is like so necessary and important. And like, it just plays into every other area of my life. And so I think like you have to just break that cycle. It's kind of like that saying, like a body in motion tends to stay in motion, a body rest tends to stay at rest. And I think like, that's what was happening to me. And I think a lot of people are struggling with that. So, you know, just learning how to like break that cycle is so key.
And
then I was going to say
small things like stepping outside can help you do that, right? Calling a friend, you know, I think it's about recognizing and being aware that that's where you're at and then doing something very small. That's the work that we do at Kulina, right? Like, you don't have to go on a crazy diet. Like, just take a few extra steps outside and see how that works with even changing the behaviors that you're doing around food. You know, so like really starting small, I think is the best way to overcome something like that. Like, do something small that's a little bit uncomfortable, but doable, and use that as momentum to continue to push forward.
100%.
Also recognize that everybody is struggling. Like, I talked to somebody today, this personal trainer, and she was like, I don't know, I just have this like weight on me and like, I can't get it off and I'm really frustrated. And somebody told me about you and like, can you talk? So I was like, sure, let's have a conversation. And so she's like, you know, I'm over 40. I had kids like late in life. I'm a trainer and, you know, I have eaten this certain way for so long. During the pandemic, I drank a lot, but I stopped drinking and I did lose some weight, but I feel like I struggle. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about your exercise and your eating. And so she like told me and I was like, you just need a little bit more carb. And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, you just need like a little bit more food and you should be okay. And she was like, okay. She's like, do you ever feel like you struggle? I'm like, yeah, dude. 100%. And it's like a mind fuck because you know so much and you just don't know what to do because what you tell people to do, they do and they have all this success and you're doing it and there's no change. And she was like, you literally just helped me so much and took a weight off my shoulder. And I just, the more that people that have a voice are honest with the voice that they have, it helps other people not feel so shitty about themselves. I think that's like a responsibility that we should all take pretty seriously.
Yeah,
I mean, to bring it back to like Instagram, I mean, nobody's doing that on Instagram. Everybody's like, oh, here's my beautiful smoothie that like I drink every morning and it's like perfectly manicured. And like, you know, I think like we really need to be transparent about what it's like to eat as a human in society right now, as a mom, as, you know, someone who has an eating disorder, as some, you know, whatever it is, you know, like it's not this perfectly manicured amazing meal that we're having all the time. Like last night I had chips for dinner.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I had heartburn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I passed on the chocolate.
No, okay. the transparency is refreshing to say the least, but I think you both brought up something really important is that when you're trying to change your lifestyle, it's not just like I'm getting ready for a vacation next month or like when you have, it's like you're trying to change your lifestyle. So this is, eventually it's not super intimidating to like eat healthy or whatever. I think doing things in small doses and making small changes, eventually you'll get to where you want to be, but tell yourself it's going to take time. Like you're not going to get there next week. Like it will take time to get there. Yeah. And I'm sure you tell that, you preach that to your clients all the time.
All the time. All the time. Yeah. Like, guys, get it together. Rome wasn't built in a day. They're like, yeah, but I was watching, I saw Kim Kardashian. I'm like, you don't have Kim Kardashian resources, so stop it. Just let it go.
Right.
Also, what you've been doing with yo-yo dieting hasn't been working. Like, yeah, you've been able to lose a lot of weight in a short period of time, but here you are now. You've done that multiple times throughout the course of a lifetime, and you're still where you started. You're not where you want to be. So you really have to, like, shift your approach.
Yeah. And I think it's about being like, you know, one of my friends said this to me recently. She's like, you want to feel healthy and like, you know, look good. You don't have to necessarily be like a certain size. And I think I have to remind myself too, I'm not, I know I'm 25 and probably all the people in their 40s will be laughing. But the thing is like, I don't even have the same body shape that I did when I was like 18 years old. And I have to be like, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm never going to be that size again. And like, nor do I want to be. That wouldn't be healthy for me at 25. And I think like, also, I'm sure you're speaking women who after pregnancy, you know, your body is going to change and like being okay with that. And like, it should be about being healthy, not like necessarily looking a certain way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think, you know, we talk about this all the time, right? All bodies are different. And if we all ate the same, we would all look different. So like, that's fine. And so you have to say to yourself, if this is my body and I move my body and I drink water and I don't over drink alcohol and I eat vegetables and fruit and like, this is, then I'm doing all the things and this is it, right? I don't have to like make myself crazy. But if I'm drinking a bottle of wine every single night and I'm eating out fast food and I'm not moving my body, like, those are choices and that's your choice, but that's probably not the best choice because like there are consequences. So like people who say like eat and drink whatever you want, whenever you want, and there's no consequence. That's not entirely true, but like, that's how we have to think about it, right? Like if I'm not putting my best foot forward, and no one's suggesting that you restrict and you don't eat, but like really think about and be like an adult about this, then you probably have some room for improvement. And then maybe there'll be a shift. But if you're doing all the things and you're happy, just live your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Yeah. How do you get to a point where you have to be like less intentional about what exactly you're eating, where do you always have to be intentional? Like, does there come a point where you kind of are just, it doesn't feel as forced, if that makes any sense? Like you're just kind of, cause I feel like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, you have to practice, you know, it's just like with any habit. Like my daughter is learning how to walk and it's hard for her, but you know, when she figures it out, it's going to be easy. So you just have to keep doing it over and over and over again. That's how humans evolve, right? You can't expect for things to happen overnight. You can't expect for you to be really good at something if you're doing it for the first time. And I think bringing it back and having that perspective of really thinking about how we evolve as humans with children and learning how to walk, learning how to eat. I mean, you know, homegirl's like not great at it. Like she doesn't know how to eat, you know, she's figuring it out. It takes her time. She's still eating with her hands. She doesn't know how to use utensils, right? She misses, she gets it all over the place. So, you know, it's been a year and she still hasn't quite gotten it. She'll get there, but you have to give yourself time. That's how we learn how to do things as humans.
Yeah. And also having grace with yourself, because sometimes we have chips for dinner. So that's okay,
right.
Too.
That's right. And it's so fine.
Worth it.
Yeah.
It's so fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, heartburn. Oh, I just felt the heartburn. I didn't even.
Very bad.
Ooh, oh,
no,
man.
No, 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 no.
for people that do, you know, drinking is a part of like their lifestyle or like treating yourself, for someone that's on this mission towards having a healthy lifestyle, what advice do you give for them where it's like, how do you limit yourself or maybe like options for someone that, you know, does go out a lot?
I don't know. Like, it depends on what kind of drinker you are. Some people are totally normal drinkers. I am not a normal drinker, which is why I don't drink, saying that I easily see how people can be alcoholics because I can easily drink a bottle of wine every single night if somebody is giving it to me. So I recognize that that in me very early on. And it's like, I'm not into this. Like, no thanks. So, yeah. But other people, like my husband, is somebody who like have a drink today and not have a drink for the rest of the year. Also, my best friend, Robin, she's like, I had a drink on New Year's Eve. I'm like, yeah. She's like, I was up for 6 days. Never again. Probably never have, like, maybe she'll drink in like 2 years. It's like, yeah. You know, they're just people like that. And then there's the people in between, right? And so if you're having like 2 or 3 drinks every week, like, I don't know. We don't really have too much to talk about. It's right. Like when it's this like daily occurrence of multiple drinks, it's not even about like weight, because the verdict is kind of still out on that, depending on like you, your body type or whatever, but it's really about, it's a depressant. You're going to wake up depressed. Do you have mental health issues? You know, you're increasing your risk for head and neck cancer. We know very definitively, there's no question here that we can correlate the like increased alcohol intake with increased risk for head and neck cancer. So it's choice is yours. Also increased risk for breast cancer. So, I mean, like, there are all these things, but we have whole industries around alcohol, right? Like, people's profession is to tell you, like sommeliers, like that's the job of somebody.
Right.
So how can we just like dismiss alcohol? We can't. There's nothing wrong with it, but we just need to really pay attention. Like, is that how you want to spend all of your time? Probably not. There's other ways to connect with people. We just are conditioned as society to like equate having a good time with alcohol. And that's not actually necessarily true.
Yeah. I went out last weekend and no, go ahead.
So I think it comes back to like mindfulness and awareness, like what Vanessa was saying. You know, I think it's about understanding your relationship with alcohol and like really being honest and transparent with yourself about like, how do I feel when I drink? You know, like Vanessa said, she feels like it takes her to a place where she feels out of control, right? And she doesn't. Vanessa's a trophy, so that's not a good feeling.
I'm gonna imagine her a bottle of wine going through the DMs, like
not safe.
Need like an alter ego for Vanessa, like when she's yeah.
crazy. It's like
nuts. Yeah. So I think it's about like the awareness, right? And like being really, really real with yourself about like if you want to drink, like why do you want to drink? How do you feel when you drink? You know, like asking yourself these questions or working with someone to really understand that, so you can make an informed decision about what's best for you.
Yeah. I just had an honest conversation with myself last week. And I was saying that like, I realize now when I drink, like the next morning I get so like depressed and I'm like, why do I feel so sad? And I feel like my friends are like, it's fine. And like, I don't know, maybe they just react to it differently, but for me, I'm like, I don't like this feeling. Like it's not worth it. And so, I think just being honest with yourself, I'm like, this really isn't benefiting me anyway. And like the night of going out doesn't compare to like the next morning. It just doesn't. So
that's right. That's exactly it. And so you recognize what works for you and what doesn't. And you are obviously aware of how your body feels and you're interested in feeling happy and good and not like shit. So you're like, yeah, I'm good on this. Like, and other people just think it's like normal. Like, okay, it's fine. Like I'll feel like shit, but then I'll shake it off. But it's like this continuous cycle. And then what happens when that's happening multiple times a week? Like, how does that really affect you and your life? Just like not a risk I'm interested in. Also, I like value sleep so much. And if I drink, I will not sleep ever again. And it's just like, no thanks. Like, I'm too old for this shit. I'm too old, guys. You don't know. It's like, I'm closer to 50 than 40 now. And it's very frightening. Yourself.
No, you're not. Yeah. No, you're not.
I'm going to be 44. It's shut really scary up. To say that. Yeah.
I would have literally thought you were like early 30s. Wild.
You're so nice. Wild. Thank you. I hope. It's really scary. This is a scary place.
We take good care of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, clearly, guys.
Also, I have no problem with Botox, and I suggest everyone get it prophylactically in your 30s. That's all I have to say.
Noted. Check, no, but I was going to say, I heard that like the hangovers when you're in your 30s, like when you're in your 20s, maybe last a day. Like all my friends in their 30s are like, Sid, it literally lasts like three or four days. And so like,
oh, horrible.
Forget it. If you have a child and you have to take care of them, they're like, listen, mommy, I need you to cook and do things for me. And you have no choice but to do those things. It's hell.
Every single person who has a child makes the one fatal mistake of getting blackout drunk one night. And then this is probably literally the last time I drank like 10 years ago when I had my daughter. You got blackout drunk because
is that when you had your daughter?
Yeah, she's 10. She's 10 now. So 10 years ago. And so then you get blackout drunk and then your baby wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you're still drunk. And you're like, fuck. And your husband is also like useless. He's like gone. And you're like, this is so, you're so traumatized. And so like everyone's throwing up and miserable. And you're just like, you know what? It's a wrap. Cool. Thanks. Done with this.
Learned a lesson.
And I'm a quick learner and here we are. Yep. Thriving.
That's really funny. What are some, I know you guys mentioned it before, but what are like some misconceptions about like certain foods that like, I think you mentioned the eggs before, like you can have eggs every day. Mm-hmm. Like what's other misconceptions that are like totally false?
Oh, like that people celery that juice need- and oh, coconut yeah. oil are like the antidote. Like, guys, shut up. No.
Okay.
Like, and that you need to like go completely plant-based in order for you to be healthy. I think that's like the biggest misconception out there right now. I mean, plants are awesome and they're great, but you don't have to be vegan in order for you to be healthy. Actually, you're missing out on some key nutrients as a vegan. Not that veganism is bad, but it is an extreme diet.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for you to be intentional and mindful about, you know, supplementing, working with the dietitian, really understanding like the key nutrients that you need to get to support, you know, physical activity and fertility and you know, conception, all of these things. I think you don't have to go so extreme with plant-based. If you want to try it, go for it. There are more harmful, you know, diets, but you don't have to in order for you to be healthy.
Yeah.
I think also the whole like omitting something in order to get to like a weight goal. I think a lot of people want to be vegan because they think it's going to help them be thinner. And that is like also, by the way, like never the case. Everybody who comes to me that's vegan is like, I'm vegan, I'm trying to lose weight, and like I don't cook. And I'm like, okay, y'all, well, there's no grab and go when you're vegan. I don't know where that place exists yet. So like, good luck on that. Like,
right.
But back, like the plant-based, people like don't understand, right? Like if I have oatmeal for breakfast and like lentils for lunch and a piece of fruit and some nuts, that's four, you know, eating occurrences where I've had mostly plants.
Right.
And if I have chicken at dinner, like we're doing pretty good, mm-hmm. right? So I think that's the thing. Everyone wants to be like balls to the walls, all or nothing. And there's a place of sustainability. And if you want sustainability, you have to be more flexible.
Yeah. I feel like the whole like vegan plant-based thing also comes from the fact that like on Instagram, you see all these like really hot girls that like with these like sick abs and they're like, yeah, like I'm like plant-based and vegan. And like, I think like that's like what the image is. So like a lot of like women like want, oh, I want to look like that. So like, let me go on that diet where like, you don't have to go on that diet to look like that. And honestly, they're probably miserable low key because I know if I'm eating salads for too long, I'm going to kill someone. So.
Amen, girl. And you know what? They're always so judgmental. Like I'll be like, I'm a vegan. I'm like, don't judge me over here. You want to eat this burger. Stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I am eating lamb burger. Thank yes. you so much.
Yes.
Yes.
Also too, like we don't know people's experiences. Like I have counseled people who have that, you know, six pack, and you know, they have full blown eating disorders and they struggle every single day, right? Like they want to have more variety in their diet. They want to eat more. They want to gain weight, right? They're working with me because they are very, very sick. So I think that's another thing that's really important to consider, right?
Yeah. Like
we can't take things for face value. We have no idea what people are struggling with behind the scenes.
No, totally. I don't know if you guys watch Housewives at all, but I was watching Jersey Housewives. Did you see, do you know who I'm talking about? I'm forgetting her name. She's the Jewish one on the show, but she was basically talking about like, she's very thin, but she made this comment where she said, when I was younger, some boy, cause she was heavier when she was young. And some boy was like, if I can't like pick you up with my pinky, like that I'm uninterested or something stupid like that. And now late years later, she has like this eating disorder where like she eats the same thing every day. Like she can't even go for ice cream with her kids. Like that's just like too much mentally. And she's like, she said like, she'll be in a restaurant and she looks at people eating normally. And she's like, I wish I can do that. I wish I can do that without like, you know, having some, but again, I think it all goes back to like the mental health part of it. It's like, you have to like fix it up here in order to like make the other part possible. Yeah, totally. What do you guys like do you personally? And also what do you tell your clients when it comes to like working out? Like, I mean, I'm assuming not super intense, but you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, Sid, it depends on my mood. Okay. Sometimes I'm squatting and deadlifting and sometimes I'm SoulCycle and sometimes I'm just walking the stupid dog. Just depends.
Yeah. Yeah.
But always, I'm always moving just because for me that like helps me mentally. But I don't know, like today I told this one woman, I was like, I think you should chill on the exercise. You do too much.
Okay.
She was like, what? I was like, yeah, I think it's too much. Like overexertion. Like it's not good for you. And she was like, okay, I'm gonna try it. I was like, yeah, because what you're doing right now doesn't work. So just do it my way for the week. Let's come back. Let's regroup. She was like, all right, fine. So I think it just depends on.
I told our co-founder Steve this week.
That he works too much.
Yeah, because he's having muscle twitches.
Oh wow.
Like maybe you need to let them rest a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I think what Vanessa was saying, it's so variable and it depends on stress levels, sleep. Like you shouldn't be doing HIIT if you're sleep deprived.
Mm.
You should not be doing that, right? Going for a walk is a better option for you. But if you are, you know, eating a ton of carbohydrates, maybe it's better for you to do more high intensity interval training, right? So I think it's very individualized based on a number of different factors. Sleep, stress, hormones.
Yeah, I think that's like the theme of this entire podcast. It's like it's all individualized. Like everything is individualized. Like that's what Kolina Health is all about. That's what, you know, it's all individual. And the last little nutrition question, what are some of your guys' like favorite brands you recommend for like snacking? Because I know like I'm a big snacker. So like things that like you actually approve of or things, you know, you recommend to your clients or you do for yourself. I don't know.
Well, we'll send you an email because we definitely have like a whole list. So if you want to like link it, we're happy to share that. But
yes,
I don't know. Like the girls really love Trader Joe's. And so now they've gotten me on this like kick, like where I'm in Trader Joe's buying all kinds of stuff.
You got to wait on that line though.
I know. I always get, you know, I like to shop at 7 o'clock in the morning where no one's there. I don't like to be around people. I do not like bars, but Dr. Smooth. And guys, don't go buy this. Just if you happen to be by Dr. Smooth, buy one because it's extremely expensive. Has the most delicious plant-based high-fiber bar. I'm really into that these days.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm just kind of like, salt and vinegar pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios. Mm-hmm. You'll never eat another salt and vinegar pistachio as long as you live because that is so darn good. And it's plant protein and it's fiber. I also like the Trader Joe's trail mix with the chocolate and the peanut butter. I remove the cranberries because I find like that's extra. You don't need like all of that sugar.
You would say that.
Yeah. Yeah, but the peanut butter and the chocolate, that stays. Also corn chips. Yep. Yeah, I'm into a good corn chip. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really I'm a whole foods kind of girl. So I'm like apple peanut butter, hummus and carrots. I like a nice like high fiber cracker with some goat cheese, maybe like smashed raspberries on top. Like I try to keep it fresh when I can because I just like everything tastes stale to me. Like when it's in a package, not everything, but I struggle with this. Also, this podcast has turned into like your birth control podcast. Like your taste changes when you're pregnant and like after you have kids.
Wow.
So I might be going through that situation. Like everything just tastes stale.
Horrible.
Like, tastes like dirt.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I wish I had that problem.
I know, right? It would make it a little easier. Well, now I know why you're eating chips for dinner now. You're like, I just need something like good in my mouth. Like I can't.
Yeah. Crunchy and salty.
Yeah. Yes. And then I guess like just to wrap up, what are like your guys like personal and professional goals? Let's say in the next, like, I don't know, 2 to 3 years, like what do you guys hope to see for yourselves?
Sid, I'm going to send you a flight to my yacht in Greece, because in 3 years I'm going to somehow figure out a way to just go to an island and invite friends in timed intervals, block the calendar and just come and relax. You can't bring your phone, does it? No, I have no idea, which is kind of makes me feel like really alive. Like, don't know what's going to happen. Don't care. Just going to do work and keep taking every meeting and every phone call and talking to everybody I can and see where the road goes. I think it's served me well.
While having your Fire Fridays, right? So
Fire Fridays, always. We're going to invite you. We'll invite you to the next Fire Friday.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Yeah.
What about you, Tamar?
I mean, I think it's about, like Vanessa said, living in the moment and trusting that whatever is meant to be will be, right? Like, there's so much that we are doing right now, and it's all really exciting, and it's changing all really fast. And it changes from day to day, right? Like, the goals of our company, the goals of our processes, everything that we're doing changes all the time. So it's hard to really say like what the future holds. But I think, like V was saying, being open to that, enjoying the ride, and making sure that you're inserting self-care along the way and trusting the universe will take care of you.
Absolutely. Well, you guys are like freaking awesome. I feel like I've known you forever and I have like two new best friends. So this is so good. Yes. No, you guys are amazing. So everyone, you can go to kalinahealth.com to get, you know, to get your private program or individual program. And yeah, thanks so much for coming on, guys.
Thank you. So fun.
Thanks, guys.
Happy Friday,
guys. Bye. Okay, guys, if you're hearing this, it means you made it to the end of the episode. So I just want to say thank you for listening. It means so much, and I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I did. Don't forget to subscribe so you're the first to hear about new episodes. Rate and review. It means the world. Please leave 5 stars. It helps our growing podcast. If you want to learn more about these ladies, just go to the description. Their social media links will be there, their website link, and a link to their favorite snacks that we talked about in the episode. But I hope you guys enjoyed. Have a great rest of your week. I love you all, and we will talk very soon. Bye for now.